Kaçım her gözünü de babanı koy. Diğer beder ensesir. God made man divine in nature. God is spirit and we are spirit in man. Therefore it is said, know ye not that you are the true temple of God. The body that you are carrying, it is the true temple of God because Holy Ghost resides in it. Then who you are but the spirit in man? If spirit is eternal, why we fear that we will die? So great is man. All masters are reputed. We are of the same essence as that of God. We have been given this man body to enable us just realize that spirit or God which is already in us. But that will be done only when we know ourselves. God is light. When he wanted the world should come up, then there was light. And that light comes within each of us. So all masters have been saying like that, take heed that the light within you is not darkness. So soul is of the same essence as that of God. And the light of spirit shineth in darkness, that means body, and the darkness apprehended it not. So we are great in man, that's the point. All masters tell us like that. Our true home is not this man body that has been given to us. It is a golden opportunity, of course, we have had. Ever since we were separated from God, so far we have not reached back our home. The point is because now we are identified with the body darkness, so much so that we never dream of whether the light is within us or not. So on that account only, we are not happy. Had we known the spirit in us, we are of the same divine nature as the God himself. Had we known that, then as such we are all equal. God has given us the same privileges, even physically, born the same way, outer inner construction the same. The same divine spirit within us, but being under control of mind, we are identified with the body in all outside world so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. So Master come out to tell us that you are spirit in man, God is light, and that light dwelleth in each one of us. As such, we are all children of light, brothers and sisters in God. Physically also, spiritually also, and intellectually also, we are in the same privilege of God. So masters come up, they want to make us realize who you are, what you are. They say you are conscious entities, drop of the ocean of all consciousness. But in mind, by mind and matter so much so that you've forgotten yourself. So they tell us, O man, know thyself, who you are, what you are. We have the body, of course. We have got the intellect, no doubt. But we have them, we are conscious entities. If we know by self-analysis, by rising above body consciousness, then we find we are of the same nature as that of God. We are spirit and man. We are of the same essence as that of God. Only as being identified in the world, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. A saint told us, O man, you have committed a heinous crime against your own self. And people ask him how. He says, you are the indweller of the body, you are the Holy Ghost. You are the children of light. But that you have simply got the man body to enable you to realize yourself and to realize God, but you have been identified with it, yet you are just forgotten yourself. So for that, masters come and tell us, please look to your Godhead. You are princes of God, you are micro-gods, invited by mind and matter, just groaning on the earth like anything. So masters make us realize, when they give us all this theory and teachings, then when we realize, they give a little demonstration also of that, how to rise above body consciousness, then we naturally pray, O God, you are in the high heavens, and we are here groaning in the man body, in the earth. How can we reach me? So when this is the arising from within, then the God who is there, He is us, He is with us, He is never without us. He makes some arrangement to send somebody who can make us realize who we are and what we are. So masters, when they came, they solved this mystery of life, and they made us also realize that thing by giving us a demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness. How to know ourselves. So, all masters of the East of the West all gave out the same thing. Greek philosophers, Latin philosophers, Persian philosophers, all saints of the East said the same thing, of course in their own language. So this is the first step. We can proceed on the way back to God. So for that reason, Master come and make us realize who we are right here by giving the demonstration of it. Because we do not realize unless we think, see things with our own eyes. So they say, what is this science? These religions came into being after that. So as to when they left the scene, they were made only for the purpose that their teachings may remain alive, and many people may derive benefit from that, of how to know oneself and to know God. So as long as they are practical people, the purpose of sound, for want of practical people, these formations dwindled down into stagnation, and stagnation is in deterioration. Then saints come up again, well, man, look thyself. You are taken up these labels of the man body. These are only to show in which school you are, giant, to know yourself, to know your divine nature. So these religions were made for the man. Man was not made for the religions. He had to make the best use of the religions. That school is better who turn out perfect man. So must come up to revive how to know ourselves. Practicals. Who we are, what is our connection with the body, whether we can rise above body consciousness. So you will find what is spirituality. Spirituality is not the customs or rituals or performances that you perform at the level of the senses. They have got exhausted side. That is only meant for preparation of the ground to know oneself and to know one. That is not spirituality. That is the ground on which building of spirituality can be raised. But true spirituality what? To know the spirit in man. Spirituality means the quality of spirit to know yourself, that you are spirit in man. It is purely a knowledge of self-analysis, to know oneself and to know the Overself and know God by practical self-analysis, by sitting at the feet of some adept in that way, which are called masters, and give you a demonstration of that. To know oneself, to know the spirit in man, know the name God into expression power, which is controlling the whole universe and all, and permeating all creation, and which is the controlling power of us in the body too. To know that, that is called spirituality. Don't confound it with this spiritualism, which is only a contact with the groaning spirits, those who have left the body and grounded on the earth. A contact with that, that is no spirituality. Further, spirituality is no spiritualism. There's also contact with the souls which have left the world, and they are little higher than those spirits growing from the earth. To contact with that also, that is no spirituality. If you contact with them, they will give you only up to the level they progressed on the way. They are not more than what we are here when leaving the body. So it is also no hypnotism to hypnotize us by radiation, nor it is mesmerism. So it is purely a matter of self-analysis, knowing oneself and knowing God, knowing the spirit in man. People confound it with other things. So when you know ourselves, what do we know? That we are the living, we are who are living the man body, the factory of the man body. Suppose there's a factory outside which is run by powerhouse. They've got so many departments of the factory. Each department has a link with the powerhouse. So they are working. When you want to stop any department of the factory, we take up that link from that department, and that department sees it to work. If you want to stop the whole factory, take up the main link, and the whole factory stops. Similar, this mind body is working. We are going around, playing this and that. When that connection taken up, body is inert. Machine lies intact. Everything is there, but the driver is gone. And that power that keeps on the body, that is we don't. So body works as long as we are in the body. And we are in the body, you know, as long as some power is controlling us in the body. So similarly in this man body, when masters come, they give us a demonstration of knowing ourselves, how to rise above body consciousness by self-analysis, then we see it is on account of we, this active work. Now, what has happened now, that our soul is under the control of mind, mind is under the control of outgoing faculty, and outgoing faculty is driven like anything from the outward environment. We are of the strength to the man, to the mind, to the body, to the outgoing faculty. Instead of that, they are dragging us. The whole thing is topsy-turvy. The horse had to carry the carriage, and the carriage is put before the horse. So master this thing, give us a demonstration into it. Then we know such a man who has risen above body consciousness and knows himself and has come in contact with God, that he knows which how the faculty likes to work. He's not driven like anything. That's the difference between an average man and the man who has risen above body consciousness at will. He knows himself what he is, and he further knows that higher power that is controlling us in the body and controlling all universe. So he may be his eyes open, not seeing, because his attention is not there. With his ears open, he may not be hearing. So it's all the feet of this, what we call attention, sotra. So the sotra attention is directed in the man body, or to the different outgoing faculties they work, and when that is not along with them, they don't work. Those who know, by the grace of the God in men, to rise above body consciousness, say 100 times a day at will, their angular vision is changed. They see the world in some other light. They say, we are the driver of this man body. It is on account of all things the world is going. So masters come up and they give us a conscious entity. We realize us and they use the doubts of the ocean of consciousness. So as such, you will find you are all equally situated by God, no high, no low. As man body also, as intellectual way, the same thing. With all these advancements of physical and intellectual way, we are not happy because the third side we have ignored altogether. When they see like that, they see we are all of the same essence of God, we are all brothers and sisters of God. And we worship the same God power into expression power, which is controlling us in the body. So, the objective of all religions is what? The objective of all religions is divine beatitude and beatification of God. One. And to turn out ideal men. The schools are there, you see. They are meant to turn out successful students to have highest degree. Whichever school turns out more men like that, students like that, they are creditable. If the schools are there, very big halls, good playing grounds, good dresses of the students, but no student comes out successful. So master said that there are two objects of the religion on there. One, objective religion is divine beatitude and beatification of God. And the other thing, to turn out ideal men. So, there are hundreds and thousands of people in all religions whose main purpose is to know God. Although I've forgotten, that's another thing. Master come to revive that forgotten lesson they want to again put before them. Oh man, go, don't be misguided. The highest aim that you can attain in man body is to know God. And in no other body. So man body is the golden opportunity that we have got, in which we can know God. So two things I told you, all masters say like that. So to turn out what you say, perfect man is our idea. Be ye perfect as your Father is in heaven. He is perfect. Similarly, man and God are fully embedded in each other. If therefore behoves man to reflect the light of God around him, God is soul of his soul and his body is the veritable temple of God. Man is embodied truth, but truth is his very life. Without the light of truth, how can man live? But that is without man to leave the body. So God speaks to a human pole. Without such a pole, how can we know ourselves? How can God express himself to the world? So we need somebody who has that life and can give us an experience of that light within us. So all masters have been coming again and again to revive to this very subject which you have forgotten, the highest aim of man-body. Hazrat Attar, the saint, tells us, O man, thou art the very center of creation. In fact, the very macrocosm and the microcosm. Man is a wonderful house we live in, you see. Macrocosm has three planes, physical, astral and causal. And we have also been given three planes and to cross it. We have been given body to work, you know, in the physical world, in the physical world, in the physical body. At the time of death, the physical is shaken off body, we rise into astral body, and astral world is there, then the causal world is there. And beyond all these three, the safest to whom the Father, by degrees. So he tells us, thou art the living book of God, wherein through thee alone God speaks and reveals himself. God does not speak from heaven directly, see? He speaks through the man. If man were to take care of his Godhood and make it a practical work, a day principle, the world will become a heaven and earth. It will become a real place of the pure. So the only ideal for man is to be perfect and complete. Saint Paul said, you are complete in Godhood. I'm quoting all these things to let you know what the scriptures tell us. We belong to those religions, we do not know what our scriptures say. We are great in man. So, very religion enjoins the worship of perfect men too, who are at one with God. Amongst the six, they are supposed to turn to khalsa. Khalsa means pure. And definition is given, he is the khalsa pure man in whom God's life, light is effulgent. Whole light is effulgent. Similarly, you will find in the Mohammedans, those who want to become Mohammed, who see the light of God. In Hinduism also, they light candles outside. And also to light the candle with. And Christian also sees the light of God, taking that the light within you is not darkness. So all have got the same degree, but we have forgotten. So that is why Master comes from time to time to revise us to this truth, which we have forgotten. All other body of this creation has been made subservient to man. God, man is considered to be the next to God. And the angels bow down, also bow down before the man body. To Ruskin, likewise, especially the same truth. He says, there is no wealth but life. We are worship of light, of life. If life is empty, who cares for the man body? If the lamp is, I got no oil, no wick, no thing, who cares for the lamp? If the bulb is fused, who cares for the bulb? So there is no wealth but life, life including all its powers of love, peace and admiration. The country is the richest, which nourishes the greatest number of noble and happy human beings. The country is the richest. That man is the richest who, having perfected the function of his own life to the utmost, has also the widest helpful influence, both permeating and by means of the possession of the other's life. So such like worship of such men is given up by all scriptures. Naturally, he commands to say, so we have got, so this science, to know oneself, we are spiritual man, we are eternal, never die, man's body has been given the golden opportunity in which we can realize that. So this practical subject is called spirituality, not only having the labels of one religion or this, that makes no difference. So Master tells us always, the knowledge of all knowledge is what? To know oneself. The Persian philosophers tell us. We have dwelt physically, of course, and intellectually, and not spiritually. O seekers after God, you have lost Him in the very worldly of the sense. We are given up, identified with the senses outside. So much so that we have forgotten ourselves, who we are, what we are. So the world religion means what? To bind, means back, leads you to bind one back to God. And the word yoga also means the same. Yoga means, comes from the root yud, means to unite. Unite us with God. So fortunately, together do the two dwell in close association in the same abode, in the same body. And strange enough, what as it may seem, the two have never conversed with each other. We are also in the body, and the power which controls us in the body is also there. But strange enough, we have never thought of that. And we go around seeking anywhere else. Kabir said, I went to pay pilgrimage to Mecca. On the way, God met me and rebuked me. Who told you I'm there? I'm with you. On the very life of you. So all masters tell us like that. They say, you and that God power is both within this man body. And where are you? You are just identified with your world outside. Why don't you withdraw your attention from outside? He is waiting for you within you. So it is hold the feet of attention. This is tension is what? The drop of the ocean of all attention. You are great in man. You can work wonders. If you put in that attention in your body, you become physically strong. Wrestlers, you know, when you exercise, they put in hold. Attention to the body. If you put in your attention to the centers of the brain within you, you become intellectually strong. So this is the whole feat of attention, you see. And Master says, look here, you and God both are lying in the same bed. You are sleeping, awake outside. Why not sleep outside and awake? He's waiting for you. So religion, in fact, what it is, it's a way back to God. That's all.
Nothing.
And we have considered to be something else. Religion, in fact, the way back to God, are a link, linking the soul with God, the old. That religion is blessed in terms of such religion. Pity it is that we have forgotten what our scriptures say. As long as there were practical people, people knew the ideal before them, and they also were competent to give them some demonstration of that, how to know oneself, to know God. For want of them, the same good old custom corrupted itself, as I told you before. And ever since this paid preaching has started in all regions, havoc has been done. Blind leads to blind, and both falls in the ditch. I am not quoting you from somewhere else, from the scriptures I am quoting. That are our scriptures. So we are fortunate in the 20th century that we have got scriptures. All masters who came the past over. So there is hardly now a man to tell us how to rise above body God. In all religions you find, they preach outward things, customs, rituals, how to maintain, say prayers, this and that, this is all to first step. If a man does not remain in any ism, then there will be corruption. So man is a social being, he must remain in some social body. But to remain therein, we should rise above them and see what is the basic teaching of all religions. And basic teaching of all religions is said, what I am quoting you. So spirituality is another name of, I may say, Surya Yoga. What is Surya Yoga, you know? It is just spiritual life consists in peeling off layer by layer the various koshas or sheets, physical, astral, and causal, until its science holds in its pristine splendor, self-luminosity. God is light, all sheets are given is full light. Who sees the full light is the Khalsa, is the true Hindu, is the true Mohammedan, is the true Christian. Then you know, I am soul. I and my father are one. Man has taken the same color of the God. In Sanskrit they say, Tattvam Asi. You see? From Asmi. So, these are the things to be realized. O Nanak, what is say? He is the mouthpiece of God. Such like people, they become the mouthpiece of God. They speak as inspired by God. So, in all things, Guru Nanak says, I do not utter any word except inspired by God. And God is I see man. So Mala Rum says, God has given orders to the prophet. He says, well, look here, I am so great that all this creation, universes created by are not sufficient to contain me. High heavens, low earth, now also. But strange enough, I contain myself in the heart of a saint. Did you want to seek me, go in there, where I am manifested. So these are the things, you see, that is given to us by all masters before us. So Christ said, I and my Father are one. All the things are delivered to me of my Father. I am in the Father. And I am in the Father. And the Father is in me. The word I speak.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. This morning our reader is Tanya Franklin. Are you there, Tanya?
Yes, thank you, John.
Okay, carry on.
Invocation to our beloved Master. We are gathered today to imbibe the wondrous love and blessings of our Most High, Sant Kripal Singhji Maharaj, Gurudev. The reading today is from the teachings of Kripal Singh, Volume 2, Book 2, and I start at the bottom of page 125. The home of our soul is the home of our Father. We are fortunate in having the man body in which we can go back to the home of our true Father. This cannot be done in the lower orders of creation. The man who learns to die, to leave the body at will, gets everlasting life, never to return. All glory and beauty lie within you. The astral planes are more beautiful than the physical one. The causal plane is still more beautiful, and the spiritual planes beyond are the most beautiful of all. Those who have experience of the beyond would naturally like to go there, but they are bound. Even the masters are playing their role. They want to go back, but they are bound by order. They have to carry on. In meditation, when you rise above body consciousness, the body gets complete rest and your consciousness increases. When you resume the body, it is recharged and gets a fresh lease on life. You are fortunate to have been taught how to take up your cross daily so as to rise above body consciousness and to be reborn into the kingdom of God, which is within you. Learn to stay longer in the beyond and enjoy the bliss of the kingdom of God within you. Gurudev, radiant form of the Master. Once the mind has been brought under control and it no longer doubts and wavers, then the radiant form of the Master appears within. There is no difference between it and the physical form. It is like a reflection in a clear mirror. But so long as the glass is not clear, nothing can be seen reflected. The mind was indeed a glass, which when sullied by the muck flow of worldly attachments, blurred and hid everything. But the moment this film was cleansed, it imaged the universal in itself. The term Gurudev, therefore, signifies the self-luminous form of the Master, which is free from and far above his physical body, and which the spirit actually perceives with its inner subtle light. When the spirit comes face to face with the astral master, all doubts vanish and its labors get the crowning reward, the summum bonum of life. This subtle form, disengaged from the bodily form of the guru, is termed Gurudev. It is self-luminous and lustrous with light extending over miles and miles. Satguru, or the master of truth, is the power of truth or God that works through both guru and Gurudev. With roots firmly embedded in Sat, or truth, he directly derives his inspiration from the eternal and unchangeable permanence, Sat, hence is known as Sat Guru. Gurudev meets and greets the spirit as it crosses the border lying between the physical and the subtle regions that, by passing through the stars, the sun and the moon, spoken of in the Vedas and the Devyan and Pitrian Margs, which are the paths. This astral form is exactly like the physical form of the Master, but much more beautiful, luminous, and magnetic. Guru Nanak refers to this luminous, illuminated path. Thus, the luminous form of the Master is wondrously enrapturing and enchanting. Only a perfect Master can manifest this to a spirit. This lustrous form of the Master always accompanies a spirit in the various planes, ending with Satchkhan, or the home of truth. When his luminous form descends to the focus of the eyes, a devotee has nothing more to strive for. Herein lies the devotion of the devotee. Half his success has been achieved, and hereafter the Master's astral form takes over the charge of the spirit with full responsibility for leading it to the final goal. Even the saints also adore this form and derive ecstatic delight from it. The manifestation of Guru Dev depends purely on the grace of God and one's spiritual merits in one's progress on the spiritual path. There is hardly any need to imagine or visualize the Master's form while engaged in Simran. Any such attempt is likely to scatter the attention. Then there is another danger in doing so. What form you conjure up will be a make-believe, a projection of your mind and not reality. When one is initiated, the Master resides in the initiate for all time. What is already inside will automatically come into view when you get in there fully and completely, though it may take quite some time to adjust yourself to the new surroundings unknown before. God manifests of himself more fully in some human form in which he is working without any visualization. It is really a happy day for an initiate to meet his or her radiant master within. The enjoining by the Master of regular meditations and stressing the need for living a life of love and purity are intended to make the way clear for the initiates. It is not their efforts alone that will bring them success in their uphill task, but the loving and willing surrender and faithful repose with which they sit and obey the commands. Once the soul has won access to the Master in his radiant form within, its major task was over. The rest was a matter of time. It could, of course, be taken directly to higher planes by the Satguru, but he worked out the progress gradually. Otherwise, as was the case with an insistent pundit, the shock and strain of it would be too great. When you join the Master inside, you will be able to perceive all things from the beginning to eternity. The Master talks with his disciple face to face in all the planes and gives him wise counsel in time of need. A disciple should never be content until he or she contacts the Master within, face to face, in his luminous form, and talks to him as one ordinarily does without. You should gather up all your thoughts to gain this end as early as possible, for then alone all your worries will come to an end. Difficulties in meditation. Why is it so difficult to hear shabd? Shabd is ever reverberating in all universes, seen and unseen. The human soul and Holy Shabd are of the same divine essence. Those who develop their inner consciousness by regular, faithful, and accurate meditations can listen to this heavenly melody anytime they choose to do so. The novices do feel some trouble in focusing their attention at the eye center and controlling their vibrations and thoughts carefully. Besides, those who speak much and waste their precious energy in idle and loose talk cannot listen to this heavenly melody. It is the inner single-minded devotion and attention which grants this rapturous listening. Practice undertaken with perseverance and steadfastness invokes divine grace, and the initiate can listen to the holy Shabd Dhun. It is the scattered attention of the initiate which does not allow him to hear the holy sound current. Besides, the overwhelming attachment to worldly pleasures and sense gratification stand in the way. The Living Master is love personified, and as such, loving devotion to him is the factor which makes for better inner contact of the audible life stream. It is rather the tendency of human mind, which does not relish being chained, and as such, it requires some discipline to be observed for having an inner conscious contact with the celestial melody. At the outset, it is indeed difficult, but by regular practice, the soul feels an innate affinity with the sound current. When inner bliss is experienced with the grace of the Master. Question: why does one put off practicing Shabd when it is so very essential for spiritual progress? Answer: human mind is fashioned as such by Providence that it resents silence and stillness at its center, back between the two eyes. It is an agent of the negative power attached to each human soul and relishes externality. It does not relish introversion. Besides, it is fond of sensuous pleasures, which cannot be eschewed easily. It is the gracious protection of the Living Master that he grants the conscious contact of this heavenly melody. Yet the satsangis do not pay proper heed to this most important aspect of spiritual discipline. It may be added that the dear ones who are engrossed in the pursuit of gross pleasures of flesh and matter seldom take to the holy path. And if perchance some of them may happen to be led to the Master and be granted initiation due to some past karmic evolution, they do not relish this spiritual discipline. Human body is just like a radio set wherein these divine melodies are being received by all living. The Living Master is the one who can repair our damaged sets and grant us the knob and wavelength at which this heavenly song can be heard. Regularity and steadfastness coupled with untiring selfish service in a spirit of dedication are the chief helping factors for practicing this spiritual discipline. Mind has a varying set of tricks to unloose on the initiate for evading this listening. Sometimes it poses as a friend to coax the disciple by putting forth family obligations, etc., and the dear one is caught in the noose of attachment. At other times, it stands up in tough fight like a formidable foe. Besides, the temptations of worldly pleasures keep the mind constantly swinging and wavering. The only point where it can find rest is at the eye center, the seat of the soul. The putting off of practicing shab is an age-old malady of the human mind, for which divine grace of the Master is most essential. You are advised to hold fast to your meditations with religious regularity, even if you feel confused on mundane affairs or overtaken by your mind. Please note that these are the tricks of the negative power which keep the dear ones ensnared in outer confusion and results in the wastage of precious time at your disposal. Catch time by the forelock and never relax your mind to be indulgent in gloom or sadness. It is during these moments of sheer bliss and harmony when your soul is charged with divine impulses and new vistas of right understanding open for your gratuitous joy. At present, every soul has, on account of constant association with mind, acquired a tendency to flow downward and outward through the outgoing faculties. It is because of this that she cannot catch the sound current, the elixir of life within. A cup turned upside down may for ages remain in the rain, but not a drop will fall into it. But if it is turned aright, it will get filled up in one or two showers. Exactly. It is the case with the soul. As soon as the master soul gives her a contact with the life-giving sound current by turning it aright through the withdrawal of the sensory current, the lotus-like cup of the spirit gets more and more water of immortality until she gets drenched through and through and is saved forever. Mind, you know, is ever after pleasures of one kind or another, but the pleasures of this world are all transitory and have always some sting at the bottom. Our sincerest laughter with some pain is fraught, says an English poet. This renegade of the mind can only be subdued if some internal pleasure of rapturous strains of the divine music, the word, is given to it in lieu of the external ones. When mind tastes the sweet elixir, it is diverted from the worldly enjoyments and is subdued. The soul becomes free. You have mentioned regarding your introspection diaries that when others are progressing on the way, why should it not be so in your case? Meditation is a matter of love and devotion. It is meant to cleanse the vessel of all inner dirt and filth. Unkind thoughts, temptations for revenge, a pride of learning and knowledge, lurking doubts and skepticism, distrust of God and lack of faith in Him are some of the formidable barriers that stand in the way and prevent His grace and blessings from flowing in. Meditation done in an accurate way and with regularity, giving proper time with love and devotion, does bring good results and in abundance. What are the waves which oscillate in the ocean of the mind? This happens because the senses are boiling over. From the eyes alone, 83% of all impressions enter our being, and 14% through the ears. The remaining 3% enters through other sense organs. These impressions through the senses are so severe that they are perpetually at boiling rate. So our first lesson is to learn how to control the senses. When the senses are in control, only then will the mind be tranquil. When the mind is stilled, the intellect also becomes still, and the soul can have connection with the oversoul. If you make three holes in the container, fill the container with muddy water, and then force air through these three holes, you will see that the water will churn and bubble. But if you put a little alum in that water, it will become crystal clear and still. So the alum of Nam will cut through the dirt of birth upon birth. Under the influence of the senses, it is very hard to reach the Gagan, the seat of the soul in the body, or rise above body consciousness. If a man has even one strong desire, say that of lust, outward people may consider him to be a great soul, yet inwardly he is dancing to the tune of that desire. Outwardly, he may be impressioning people in many ways, but inwardly he is digging deeper that very pit into which he has fallen. Directly or indirectly, he is drifting away from the truth, and whatever he has learned has become null and void. So I humbly repeat that to become a human being is very difficult, whereas it is not difficult to realize the Lord, but the attention must persuade the mind to leave the senses and become proficient in the science of rising above into the beyond. When the senses are one and the five enemies will attack. When the senses are one, the five enemies will not attack. The five enemies are lust, anger, greed, attachment, and ego. Furthermore, if the 10 senses are controlled, the light is manifest in that soul. God's light will fully manifest itself in that body wherein the five gross and five subtle senses are fully under control. Two very powerful forces are anger and lust. They rule over everything. If the attention dwells on lust, the soul falls very low. In anger, the ego expands. The soul cannot be linked with Nam until it withdraws inwardly and rises above the senses. Our attention has instead become like an image of the mind. We want to enjoy all the low worldly things, yet we say we want the highest thing of all, the nectar of life. It is all wrong. How far do we think we can go? Do one thing at a time, but do not remain under this false impression. One saint says, where there is Nam, there is no lust. Where there is calm, there is no Nam. Two cannot remain at once, light and darkness. Most of our precious time is wasted in indulgence of jealousies, ego, scandals, criticizing, backbiting, possessiveness, etc. There are other degrading pitfalls, but remember that lust and anger are the most powerful, and a soul, under their influence, can never go very far within, for there is no tranquility, serenity, or oneness. He who has no lust and anger is the image of God. Just think, the merest glance from such a person can still the mind, and the undesirable things leave their hold for a while. The words that come forth from this rare personality are charged with his inner tranquility, so much so that men who hear them will also enjoy a serene stillness. It follows that air which passes close to ice will bring a refreshing coolness, and the air which passes near the fire will give warmth. So whatever the inner condition of a person, so his words will be charged with that atmosphere, be it anger, lust, or a sweet tranquility. Out of the abundance of his heart, a man speaks. Everyone, literate or illiterate alike, is trapped in the powerful grip of these two most damaging traits. You have been asked to fully understand this, perhaps 1,000 times, and you still do not understand the danger. Still, when the mind suggests something, you say, "Yes, sir, whatever you say." Guru and God are very easily and quickly pushed aside. Very few people want to admit their mistakes, and with such conditions, salvation is very far away. To become a human being is most difficult. To realize God is not at all difficult, if only the soul would leave the senses and the mind and come up above the body consciousness. It would achieve something great. The obstruction caused by petty things during meditation might be attributed to your sensitive nature. The reservoir of the subconscious mind is filled with worldly thoughts, impressions, and instincts inherited from past lives. This must be drained out completely before it can be filled with love and devotion to the Lord Master. Reverently, humility and self-abnegation are ennobling virtues. The spiritual aspirants grow in divine wisdom, giving no credit to themselves as they revel in the superb bliss of divine intoxication. Oftentimes, ill health will not permit proper meditations. Such periods intervene in the liquidation of past karma. Yet their severity and duration is toned down considerably with the grace of the Master. You need not be skeptical about your progress, and instead be cheerful. You are doing your job and giving regular time to meditation, each bit laid for the spiritual edifice counts credibly and will stand to your side in the long run. Karmic liquidation is indeed a chief factor for which the loving initiates are stressed the importance of disciplined life full of loving humility and piety. You will be blessed with increasing grace from the Master Power working overhead. It is a natural desire of an initiate to rise high in the inner planes and meet within the radiant and charming Master and enjoy his grace and blessings as well as the perfect peace and bliss of those regions. Difficulties often block the way. They must be overcome. You have a strong one over your head. Take refuge in him. Why should a child ever feel shy in writing to his father? Everyone who has learned to ride has experienced many a fall. To fall in sin is manly, but to remain there is devilish. Please do not be disheartened. do avoid uncongenial society and be regular and earnest in your meditation. Do your best and leave the rest to the power overhead and do not worry. No amount of worry will help you. Let him worry for you. You do your small part in humility. In regard to your difficulty in concentration, which you say has increased since your initiation, you will be able to understand this from a parable narrated for your calm consideration. Mind is just like a horse tied with the fetters of mind, of matter, and normally it dominates the spirit. Mind, being the agent of the negative power, is quite satisfied so long as one continues all efforts in its domain and does not resent stillness and concentration. When the mind is attuned within with the holy initiation from a competent master, the rope is cut asunder and the soul is free to travel back into the realms of peace and harmony, which are beyond the scope of the negative power. So the impeding forces make a futile attempt to harbor the efforts of the spiritual aspirant, lest the soul is completely disencloaked from the bondage of mind and matter. Well, that it brings our reading to the close, and we are so grateful to our beloved master. In closing, we express our gratitude to you, our dear Savior, for the spiritual elixir you impart to us. Amen.
Thank you, Tanya, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a moment, I'll do a count. So today there were 73 people at the satsang. Thank you everybody for attending, and thank you Master for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.